It's Your Health Radio, a special podcast series presented by Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you know you're going in for surgery, there are some steps, things that you can do to get yourself both mentally and physically prepared. My guest today is Joshua Sheridan. He's a registered nurse and the clinical manager of Inpatient and Outpatient Surgery Center at Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Josh, I'm so glad to have you with us today. As somebody who experiences those kinds of anxiety, does everybody experience pre-surgical anxiety? What do you tell people about that?
It's perfectly normal to experience a certain degree of anxiety, and everybody's going to experience that anxiety, I think, at a different level. But the intensity of that fear or that anxiety depends on a lot of different things. It could be your previous experiences with surgery. It could be fear of the unknown. A lot of people are afraid of losing control. When you're in surgery, you do not have a lot of control. You're basically giving up your right to your body for a few minutes and putting it in the hands of strangers. And so there's that sense of loss and being completely at the mercy of others. And so that anxiety about that is totally normal. A lot of people, you know, for better or for worse, they watch movies and see adverse outcomes and they get a little nervous about that. And sometimes Hollywood does us a bit of a disservice in that element. But that's not uncommon. And so we try to encourage people to have good, realistic expectations, and we want to make sure that people's questions are answered. And so the anxiety is totally normal, and we are very familiar with people coming in and having concerns about having surgery.
So what's the difference between outpatient and inpatient surgery? We hear 24-hour observation stay. What does that all mean?
Well, let me, before I go on to that, let me touch base back really quick on anxiety just for a second, because it is an important difference between outpatient and inpatient, because education about what we're getting ourselves into is critical. And I think that in order to minimize anxiety, in order to understand the surgical environment, we need to make sure that we have information and planning in advance what that surgery is going to look like, talking to your physician, making sure that you have the appropriate resources available and ready to go, like home care, child care if you need it, time off from work, so that you can focus on your healing is critical. I like to think of the three things: education, optimization, and planning. And as we do that, we can develop trust in the team. We find out information. We know what to expect. We have hopefully realistic expectations about the surgery so that we're informed. And I think that in our information age, we have so much information at our fingertips, it's easy to get information about what that surgery is going to be and how it ought to look. But sometimes we can also get misinformation. So getting good resources is also critical. Make sure that you ask your provider a lot of questions, listen to their instructions. I do find a lot of people go into a doctor's office and they're given instructions, but they're nervous. They're hearing the first time maybe that they're even going to have surgery. And so they sometimes kind of forget what to ask. I really encourage people to make a list of questions. Ask around if they need to get a second opinion, make sure they do so, make sure they understand the procedure and the options and the alternatives, and the surgeon will always go over those things with you. Make sure that they have their own medication and medical history available and ready so that the people in charge of the care can plan appropriately, and make sure that all the necessary resources are in place ahead of time, and that can really help reduce postoperative anxiety. And then when you're going into surgery, whether it's outpatient or inpatient, I think we're a lot better prepared to, again, focus on the healing and the actual procedure rather than kind of some of this ancillary stuff that is going on in preparation. So back to your second question, the difference between outpatient and inpatient surgery is that outpatient is generally speaking what we call day surgery. And that's where someone comes in, typically in the morning, has a procedure done, usually more on the minor side. And when I say that, our definition of what is minor has been expanding throughout the years, and we're doing more and more surgery in an outpatient sort of day surgery context where some people are even having total knee replacements and going home that same day. And so there are a lot of things that can be done in an outpatient surgery environment, but that requires, again, optimization, education, and excellent planning in order to accomplish that. But again, generally speaking, outpatients go home that same day. Now, on the inpatient side, Those are procedures that will typically require observation overnight for usually a couple of nights. Procedures that are more extensive or have a little bit higher risk, maybe for postoperative complications such as bleeding or potential problems with infection, or they may need rehab, or they may need some of the resources that really only the hospital can provide in order to make sure that patient's recovery is smooth and they are well on their way to recovery by the time they get home.
So since knowledge is power, and obviously you've said that, and what a great explanation, Josh, what do you want people to do to prepare themselves physically, mentally for a surgery? How can they go in stronger?
That's a great question. As I mentioned, patient optimization is a term that we're using a lot these days to describe readiness for surgery. And we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? What does it mean to be optimized? Well, a lot of people go into surgery having other health conditions that they're dealing with, and that could be diabetes, it could be blood pressure issues, it could be sleep apnea. And those are things that we want to have well controlled prior to these surgeries. So those are things that if I have diabetes, I want to make sure my blood sugar levels are within normal limits and that it's well controlled, that my diet is well controlled, because if it's not, then it increases my risk for complications after surgery. Same thing with something like blood pressure. I want to make sure that that the blood pressure is well controlled. If I've had ups and downs, it might be a good strategy to put that surgery off for a little bit until we can get that blood pressure optimized. Sometimes people have sleep apnea. They don't even know it. And so we'll do an obstructive sleep apnea assessment typically through our pre-admissions program and try and get them what we call a stop bang score on that. And that helps us identify risk factors for sleep apnea. And if somebody is high risk, then we'd like to look at options like a CPAP machine and getting them connected with typically a respiratory doctor that can help manage that and get them set up so that they have the best chance for recovery when they get home. As far as other things, it's important that, you know, we stop smoking prior to surgery. If you are a smoker, we'd really, really like to get you to stop smoking prior to surgery. The sooner the better, because smoking can help or rather prevent wound healing. It causes some vasoconstriction, and so there's a lot of potential problems with that that can cause a higher risk for wound site infection and so forth. And so we want to do that ahead of time. We don't want to just try and quit smoking the day before, but hopefully as far ahead in advance in order to optimize those outcomes. We want to make sure people stay well hydrated, avoid alcohol use prior to surgery, make sure they're clean. We even have, as part of our what we call our enhanced recovery after surgery protocol, certain types of cleaning agents that individuals can use in order to make sure the bacterial load on their body is reduced, especially if they're going through a high-risk procedure. So that's something, by the way, enhanced recovery after surgery, aka ERAS as we call it, is something the patient can talk with their doctor about and see if it's appropriate for them. And because we do a lot of pre-op pain management, intra-op pain management, and then post-op optimization to help get that patient moving through the surgical paradigm as quickly as possible. We have a lot of great resources like the diabetes class at the Henry Mayo Health and Fitness. We have our great physical therapy department. In fact, if somebody is going through physical therapy here, they can use the Henry Mayo Health and Fitness. So there's a lot of great resources our facility provides to help somebody not only get through the surgery, but to recover as quickly as possible once they've had that procedure done.
Well, recovery, and as you say, ERAS, that's a big deal these days. What would you like people to know about support systems when they get back from surgery and after surgery care, you know, some limitations? I know it depends on the type of surgery that they had, but, you know, what are some basic bits of advice about the support systems and about things that they need to do to set up their home to make sure that they're all ready to go when they get to go back home?
So again, good planning is very critical to a strong, healthy recovery. making sure that the home is ready. Know where you're going to sleep. If you have a two-story house and you've just had a total knee surgery, it may be hard to get up those stairs. So preparing a place in the downstairs area is good planning. I mean, it could be something as simple as making sure you know what movies you're going to watch, you know, and you have a comfortable environment in which to recover. Who's going to be there for you, whether it's a family member or friend that can come in and help make sure that you're okay. We don't want to leave people alone after surgery. We want to make sure they're supported. Some people do have limited resources, and there are at-home health services that can be utilized in order to help people recover, but those need to be planned in advance. If somebody doesn't have resources, they need to know that they do need them, and they can talk with either their surgeon or their primary care provider, or even work with our pre-admissions programs to get referrals to some of these home health services that can provide support during the recovery period. Our spine and joint program has a class that patients can go to, and I hate to say require, but we want all of our patients having spine and joint surgery to go to this class because it's so educational, and usually they can sign up, even if they're thinking about having spine and joint surgery, they can sign up for the class on the Henry Mayo website and go to that class and get information about spine and joint surgery, what to expect, what does recovery look like, and how that whole process is going to work out. When we have somebody scheduled for surgery, our pre-admission program calls everyone prior to the surgery, usually anywhere from a day or two to a week in advance. We try and call them as early as possible, but not everybody is always available. And so we really want to connect with individuals to make sure that we can review their medical history, their medication history, and answer questions about surgery ahead of time so that they're prepared and have all the information necessary to have a successful recovery. We even on our outpatient website have a couple of videos on surgery. One is related to discharge and what to expect, and another is related to anesthesia and what to expect, because there are very different kinds of anesthesia used in different scenarios, and we want to make sure people have as much information as possible in order to have both an informed opinion about their surgery as well as the tools they need to recover well.
So as we wrap up, what's your best advice and what questions would you like patients to ask about pain management after surgery, about what they can expect, and really give them your best tips for that anxiety and to relax and allow the professionals to do the job that they do so very well?
That's another great question. Pain management is actually a huge topic in the post-surgical world. In fact, the Surgeon General in 2016 mandated that we look at pain management and really address the problem of the growing opioid overdose and epidemic in the U.S. So pain management is critical to recovery. Now, we want to make it clear that just because there are risks to opioid use, it doesn't mean they're in and of themselves a bad medication. It means that they have to be managed and used correctly. So that means they need to be taken according to the way they were prescribed, but also with the understanding that that this is not something that we're intending for someone to be on long-term. It's meant to manage short-term acute pain. So developing realistic expectations with relation to pain management and anxiety as well is critical to recovery. We're going to have surgery, and surgery in and of itself is going to be uncomfortable on some level. And again, we are able to do so many things that help minimize that. At the same time, though, we need to be prepared for some of the challenges that are ahead. So making sure that those expectations are realistic is critical. There are different compounding factors. That could be someone's may have a chronic pain issue that also is part of this. If somebody has alcohol and drug use, we want to address that. If somebody has a previous experience with pain that was problematic, we want to make sure we have a talk about that and make sure that what has worked and not worked in the past is going to be identified before surgery as well. So we want to make sure that all these concerns are addressed. But that said, there are a lot of different options we have. We want to make sure that we look at what is appropriate for that particular patient in that situation. And that's a good conversation to have between you and your surgeon The anesthesiologist who interviews the patient prior to surgery can go over some of the pain management techniques. Sometimes we can use local anesthesia where we just numb up the surgery site. Sometimes there's regional or epidural type anesthesias that can be used. Blocks are commonly used a lot now and really have, I think, transformed recovery in the pain management sense in recent years. And our anesthesiologists are great at these blocks. And so there's a lot of different options that patients have. But really the take-home message is to have realistic expectations and understand this is a short-term use in order to try and get somebody back to their baseline level of health. And hopefully, especially if we're addressing a problem, that we even, get you back and to even an enhanced level of living, that we can help deal with any issues if somebody's had problems with arthritis and they're getting a total knee, that they have the best recovery possible and that surgery is really helping them. So, but patients have a role in that process. They have a role in making sure they're honest about their pain medication use and that they're honest about their expectations, that they help us understand the side effects, and that they partner with us in this process. But I'm really excited about our ERAS program, again, that has helped a lot of patients recover quickly, minimize complications, as well as get out of the hospital faster and back to their previous level of living, as soon as possible. So ultimately, I think we are multidisciplinary in our approach. We have other things as well that we want to encourage. Relaxation is key, making sure somebody has those support systems, has the knowledge in place to be able to manage their recovery, that they are able to use some alternate types of therapies. There's aromatherapy, there's relaxation techniques, there are meditation, and a whole myriad of options available to help manage pain, and it doesn't always just have to be opioids. And I think that's an important thing to emphasize, so that we can help get people back on their feet as soon as possible.
What great advice, Josh. Thank you so much. And as you said, having that knowledge, knowing what lies ahead, really helps you to be your own best health advocate. And that's so important for people that are considering and going in for a surgical procedure. Thank you again for sharing your expertise. That wraps up another episode of It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Head on over to our website at henrymayo.com for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast as informative as I did, he gave great advice. If you know somebody who's going in for surgery, share this podcast with them so that they can be prepared as well. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check out all the other interesting podcasts in our library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.